broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth. It's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Business Radio X. This is Gwinnett Business Radio. I am your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my trusty co-host. I can't seem to get off that that verb, trusty. Or no, that's an adjective. Trusty, when I describe Stephen Julian. Stephen, welcome to the program once again.
I'm okay with trusty. Trust me, there's been a lot of other adjectives that have been used to describe me, so trusty's okay. Mike, I'm a little worried this morning.
Okay.
Are you concerned about the fact that I'm a little worried? You know, I think our show might be really, really uptight today, so I think we might need to really concentrate on trying to loosen things up, you know, trying to relax a little bit.
If our listeners only heard some of the conversation going on before we went on the air.
Well, it's almost like maybe we just need to, you know, get a little healthier and you know, loosen up and relax with a good glass of wine. If I could do that, it'd be perfect.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about wine
really
during today's show.
Oh, good. Oh, great. Wonderful.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
It's amazing how you just, you know, feel that.
I should come to these pre-production meetings. It might help.
Absolutely. And as soon as I start having some, I'll let you know.
Thanks, Mike.
Joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio today is Catherine Pike with Lighter Body Solution, along with Orson Hall. And Orson is with Wine Parties by Design. Thank you to both of you for appearing today and putting up with Stephen and myself. We will start with Catherine. Catherine Pike, Lighter Body Solution. Good morning, Catherine. Tell us all about your company and what you do.
Good morning. Well, you know, people get really uptight when they hear what I do because I'm a natural weight loss expert, and they start looking at what's on their plate and they get really rigid and they get worried that I'm going to judge them about what they're eating and what they're drinking. Well, first of all, I just got to say, because we're going to be talking to a wine expert here in a little bit, I am all in favor of enjoying some good wine. I'm actually all in favor of eating and enjoying your senses. I mean, there's a reason why we were born with flavor receptors on our tongue, right? So we've got to enjoy what we're eating, but there's a way to have it make sense. So what I do is I help women, men, and teens drop weight easily. And they can do this by simply following my plan, which I could tell you about a little bit later. But you know, the thing is that they can feel great. They can feel better in their body. They can develop more confidence from the inside out. And the benefit to business owners is that their productivity skyrockets. I mean, how is it to go to a networking meeting when you don't feel great about how you look? You don't feel like a rock star walking into that room. In fact, you're hoping that people can't see the lumps and the bulges, and can you just get out of there as fast as possible because you're tired. You want to go home. It's been a long day. How is that good for business? So what I do is I help people feel great about themselves so they can ramp up their productivity and get more done.
So it's not only physical. I mean, it's mental too, because if you feel like you look good, I mean, you're going to be so much better.
Absolutely. You know, there's a way that we create our reality with our mind. I mean, this is not new thinking. This is the prevalent thinking these days. And if you feel like a rock star, you know you're a rock star. Guess how people are going to perceive you?
Absolutely. Talking with Catherine Pike with Lighter Body Solutions. The standard formula, I guess, Catherine, is you eat less and you exercise more. Do you follow that standard when you talk to your clients?
Yeah, that's such a trap. I mean, we've all been brainwashed to really believe that you just got to exercise more. You got to starve yourself. You got to be in the gym. You got to live in the gym to look like you want to look. And simply not true. So there's a couple of areas we can look at. One is, what's a realistic goal? Some people want to be size -5. That's not healthy. And size 0, I mean, some people are born size 0, but most women and most men aren't going to be at a healthy size when they're that thin, when they're down to the body fat ratios that are razor thin. And if they don't get a peanut in 5 minutes, they're going to expire. So we want to make sure that you've got a body composition that runs really efficiently. And when we start eating less, when we start exercising more, we're asking for more work with less pay. How many business people do you know like to operate like that? How about you work double time? How about you work overtime? And I'll get you that check next year. I don't think so. So when we exercise our bodies and we ask it to work for us, we got to pay it, which means feed it. So the biological effect, where it shows up scientifically, is the resting metabolic rate, which is the rate at which we burn energy. And when we starve our bodies and we work it too hard, then we lower our resting metabolic rate. What we want to do is we want to raise our metabolic rate. We want to be burning energy like a furnace. Now, eating 50 donuts and sleeping on the couch is not a great solution. I'm not advocating that. However, I am advocating eating balanced meals, eating meals that make sense for your own personal body. The thing is, people go to these solutions, the South Beach diet, the Atkins diet, the Weight Watchers. These are all fantastic plans, and they've helped millions of people. But they may not have worked for you. And there's a big reason. The reason why is because your body's different. Your body's special. You always heard, you're special. Well, it's true. You are actually special. And your unique body chemistry drives what's going to work for your body to have it burning like a furnace. So what we have to do is we have to think about eating, but eating the food that works for your body at the right times and incorporating exercise that makes sense just so that we can get that metabolic rate pushed up.
So my question was going to be, where do you start with your typical client? It sounds like where you start is you've got to kind of figure out what's going to work for them. There is no one specific standard solution for everybody. Is that what I hear you saying?
It's very true. And, sometimes you'll hear about your neighbor. They're looking awesome. And you ask them, hey, what are you doing? And you start doing it yourself. And it's like, oh, dang it. Why isn't this working for me? Which leads to a sense of failure, leads to this bit of shame. And so that's not going anywhere productive. If you just knew the reason behind why it's working for them and not for you, if you just had someone able to guide you and show you what would really make sense for your body, then you could start seeing results for yourself. And that's where I specialize. I'm an expert in leverage. I really believe in ROI. There needs to be a return on your investment of time. There needs to be a return on your investment of energy. If you're going to put some focus and energy into anything that you do, there needs to be a return. Even brushing your teeth in the morning, pain in the neck. Who wants to? But if you show up at a meeting and some people are backing away, you realize there's a benefit to brushing the teeth, so maybe it's worth the investment. So if you're going to work with somebody who's going to leverage your time and have you do just those things that make the most sense for you so that you can see the maximal return, that's where we start seeing that coaching makes sense, and that's where I come in.
I actually don't brush my teeth. That's why my social life has gone downhill. So I usually like to go to places where there's a lot of wine.
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk to you about that, Mike.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes with yours as well. How do you work with your clients? Do you work with individuals? Do you work with groups? And then how do you do your coaching? Do you do it in person, over the phone? Is there a place where they come to you? How does that all work?
I do workshops in person in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'll be traveling soon to be conducting those workshops. But I work by phone, coast to coast. My clients are in California. They're here in Atlanta. They're in New York. And they're also in Canada. So 100% of my coaching is by phone, which works great because if you live in Atlanta, if you certainly live anywhere near it. You live in Duluth. You live in Norcross, Alpharetta. You notice that there's a little bit of traffic here. Number one.
Just a little. Just a little.
Number
one.
Don't we
have a traffic report?
No traffic reports on this show, though.
All right, go ahead.
So it saves people a lot of time. Again, return on your investment. Who wants to be sitting in a car? Who wants to be sitting in a waiting room? How about if you just get on your phone or your cell phone while you're in the car and you're on the phone with your coach and you can get business done and multitask? That's what it's all about. So, yeah, the phone is very efficient and it happens to be very effective.
Who is your typical client? And you kind of touched upon it earlier with helping business people, but you can actually help business people as well. But talk about some of your clients.
Some of my clients are actually children, and some of them are women and men. Usually they're over 40. The women and men are over 40 because they've tried diet programs before. They've lost weight, and it's come back. And they've lost weight again, and it's come back. And boy, that just stinks. I've lived that life. I've gained and lost thousands of pounds. So I live this truth that is my client's life. It really hurts. It's very frustrating to watch the weight come right back on after all that work. So the folks that come to me are just done with that scenario. They're ready for something that's permanent. And I specialize in permanent weight loss. And for the kids, what it's about is developing a new relationship with food such that they don't have this issue show up in their lives that takes them off their game again and again, as it did for me. I used to sit in an office in New York City, very big deal investment banking firm, falling asleep at my desk, my boss actually calling human resources to find out how they could fire me with cause for drug addiction to sugar and all the junk that I was eating at night that was having me be a poor performer. How's that? That's not so great. So what we want to do is look at maybe there's a different way to have a sense of enjoyment with a meal that doesn't have us drooling and needing a bib. There's extremes at every level. I love cake. I eat it, but I also eat a bunch of other stuff that has it work for me. So I teach people, and especially children, how to love themselves unconditionally. This is a really big piece. Is it okay if I share a little bit of woo-woo kind of love soft stuff here?
Sure. We'll crank up the music if you'd like.
Yeah. Put on some violins, because, you know, anybody listening to this, I mean, I don't want to make light of this. I want people to have fun. I wanted them to enjoy hearing this information. But the truth is, if you're suffering with excess pounds and you feel like your pants are tight, things are not so jolly in that department. They really are very painful. And what happens is we end up feeling the sense of shame, the self-loathing, and it takes us off our game. It goes into this trap of, I'm no good. Nothing I do works. And when we develop a new relationship with food, such that we know that no matter what our body size is, we are infinitely lovable, completely unconditionally lovable. It doesn't matter what our size is. We are lovable, and we can share that love with others. We're a whole and complete human being. And then we can get, then at that point, we can get realistic about what's the actual result of my eating this meal? How do I feel? How do I show up in the world? How am I affecting an outcome? So there's actions that we take, and there's results from those actions. If we take actions that produce the results that we want, we have the life that we want. So this is a realm of just practical responsibility. It's a realm of infinite possibility when we can release ourselves from shame. And for children, if we can get that conversation going early, there's a way that healthy relationship with themselves and life and decisions, powerful decision making, affects every realm of their life going forward. So I love working with 10, 11 year olds, 12 year olds, 13 year olds. I mean, my own issues with food started when I was 11 or 10. I mean, I could go into some drama there. I'll spare you the details, but I know that's when it starts. And so parents love it when I can help their kids start a new path.
You know, Mike, yet again, I wish we could find some passionate business leaders here in Gwinnett County to bring on the show. We're speaking with Catherine Pike of Lighter Body Solution. Catherine, take me through what a typical relationship with one of your clients would be like. Is it something that is ongoing for a certain period of time? Is the coaching kind of tailored just like the solution is tailored? Sometimes it's just a few sessions, sometimes it's a lot up front and then kind of ongoing. Talk me through the relationship you have with your clients and how long they typically last.
Usually what people want is a complete shift in the way they approach food. So they want it to become a lifestyle. And that takes a little bit of time because there's a lot of learning that needs to have some gentle adjustments made. So typically the life cycle of a client relationship is around 6 months. Sometimes it can be shorter. 3 months is effective as well. And what we do is we usually talk every other week. I develop a customized menu plan for them. And so they get an idea of what would work for their particular body and lifestyle and preferences for breakfast. They get ideas for lunch and dinner, snacks in between, where they can cheat, because I think that's really important for sustainability of the plan, and where they really need to stay focused to get to their goals. And once they have that menu plan, then we work on mindset work, mindfulness work, and those metabolism pieces that have their body cranking up like a furnace, that has that eating plan take hold and become a part of the way they just live their lives. And again, leverage. It's not a massive change in what they're doing. I believe in simplicity. Who here wants their life to be more difficult? I'm not raising my hand. So the concept is, what are the simple, easy modifications that we can make that have us choose powerfully and develop a life that creates the results that we want, that has us feeling awesome, feeling great, and looking great too.
Something that makes us all feel good is more wine, but we'll talk about that later. Keep going back to the wine. That's our theme today, by the way.
I love wine. You know, resveratrol, that antioxidant in wine is powerful. You know, when we exercise, if we exercise, definitely recommend a glass of wine afterwards.
You mentioned the children. I can see it's very close and dear to your heart is working with children. And obviously, child obesity is a problem in our country today. You're actually doing a pro bono project in the schools right now. Tell us all about that.
I am. I'm going into schools into DeKalb County, Fulton County, and talking to the middle school students about this mindset work, the metabolism work, and the mindfulness work. I really wanted them to see that, like we were speaking about earlier, want them to have that conversation, a seed planted in their mind and in their hearts, that they're infinitely lovable, but there are different choices they can make. And when they make those different choices, what results is a stronger body and a sharper mind. And what would that be like for them if it was easier to do their homework, if they could run faster? And frankly, if they want to create what they want to create with their lives, and we get present to their dreams and they start yelling out stuff like, I want to be a vet, doctor, lawyer, NBA star. These are really real dreams for them, and it doesn't take them any time at all to start shouting them out. If they want those dreams to become fulfilled, if they want to fulfill on that potential in their life, they are going to need to show up with a body and a mind that works efficiently. So if they even look at a hip-hop star, or if you look at Barack Obama, both of those guys and women need sharp minds and stamina to deliver on their jobs every day. So you've got, if you're Serena Williams, you got to have a sharp mind to make those decisions on the court and stamina to survive the game and to win. So what we want is the kids know that there is a difference between eating the Cheetos and eating the corn that the Cheetos came from. What is that difference, and why does it matter? Because there's a whole lot of what that we're sharing. Everybody knows. Everybody's brainwashed to understand we need to eat more vegetables and fruit, and they need to be fresh. Totally got that. But why? No one's talking about the why, and that's what this workshop delivers, is that piece where the kids joyfully and excitedly embrace some new decisions.
You're a certified coach and also a speaker. How do you find your speaking engagements? Also, how do you find your clients typically?
They're usually through referral. People get really excited about this stuff and they start sharing about it. And, you know, I'd love for anybody listening to this, if anybody listening to this radio cast has heard something that means something to them, I want you to email me. I want you to tell me who you know, who in your life, your friends, your family, your school teachers that you want me to talk to. Really seriously, email me. K as in kangaroo, A-T, at lighterbodysolution.com. K-A-T at lighterbodysolution.com. Please let me know. I want to find out what you think about what I'm discussing. Some of this conversation is a bit new. There's so much conversation about, you know, eat your oatmeal. That's old. It's stale. So I want to understand from the folks listening, have I said anything that inspires you? If so, what was that? Because I want to keep saying it. And is there anybody that I should be talking to? Because I want to talk to them.
I hear a lot of psychological stuff, a lot of emotional stuff too. So it's not just the physical, the emotional. You have to be in the right mindset to be able to fix what ails you, I guess.
You do. And you know, what we think is more important than what we eat. People don't really get that. And also, what we do is more important than what we eat. The body speaks a certain language. It isn't English. So if you know English and you were telling your body, would you please just start burning? It isn't going to pay attention to you. It pays attention to movement. So we have to learn, how does our body really operate? What languages can we adopt to really get the message across and have it create something for us? And the mindfulness piece is a really big deal too. What we've got is gratitude involved, waking up the senses, making food an experience that's unforgettable. We're going to be talking about wine here in a minute. I mean, there's over 200 nuances of food and beverage that the nose can detect and only 5 on the tongue. So how about we slow it down just a bit and allow that fork to rest under the nose for maybe at least a second to give the nose a chance at the food. We gobble down our food. Our nose is like, hey, what up? How about you give me a chance at this? There's 200 things that we could appreciate about that bite of food that the nose didn't even get a chance to tell us about. And 5 on the tongue. So yeah, we get the 5 when we swallow it. And we wonder why we're still hungry after a meal. How about we didn't even get to experience the meal? So mindfulness is involved in waking up the things like the nose. And then we've got that mindset piece. Mike, you said it. It's so important. What we think is a very big deal. And if we're thinking that we're wrong, if we're thinking that eating well is a project, it's just no fun. It starts sounding like work. And who wants more work? It's not like that. It can be completely different. It can be an opportunity. Think about the decisions that you make for your business. Are they junk that you just don't want to deal with, or are they opportunities? Everybody goes for opportunities because there's going to be a result. There's going to be payback. So this is the piece that I really like to instill in folks, because when you work with me, there is payback. There is the result that you want, which is feeling great in your body, looking like you want to look, feeling like a rock star, having it be easy, having it be simple, and having it be permanent.
Catherine, we're Mike and I always joke that we're not real hard hitting with our questions because we want to set our guests up for success. But here comes my hard hitting question, so get ready. You talked a little bit about the work you've been doing in the schools. Obviously, you've done speaking engagements elsewhere, but you mentioned something at the very beginning, talking about business owners. And we are a radio show that that reaches out to business owners and are listened to by business owners. Is there a way to bring what you do into more than just an individual, but also into a business? Is there a place for a business owner to say, because one of the big things, one of the big topics I come across in my line of work is benefits packages. Who knows what healthcare is going to look like? What do I pay for? What do I not pay for? Is there a way that most employers definitely want to take care of their employees. How can they work with you? Is there a way for them to work with you, or should we come up with one on the show here today? And by the end of it, we got a program and put it up on your website.
There absolutely is a way to work with me. You know, I specialize in small to medium-sized businesses. You know, there's lots of companies out there that will go into your workplace and they'll develop workplace incentives and, you know, employee programs, but usually they're looking in the, you know, multiple six-figure range for some kind of benefit for their own company. They're huge corporations and they want a return. And so since I'm a solopreneur, I really like working with the small and medium-sized businesses. And to get that productivity ramped in the office, people don't realize that their own insurance premiums cost them so much more, but you can show them the numbers and they realize that eventually that having this excess weight is making their wallet lighter. So they walk in the office and their pants are tight and their wallet's light and they wonder why that is. And the employers too. And how many more benefits could employer offer if the insurance premiums weren't going up by 20-30% a year? So this is really tough. And if you're a business owner, you know this. If you start hiring people, it's a huge investment. It's a huge commitment. So how about we look at, again, it's not a project. It's not work, but it can be joyful. It can be fun. It can be an opportunity for us to figure out how the people in the workplace can feel wonderful about themselves. And they can start looking at the results of their productivities just going off the charts.
Catherine, I think we could talk to you forever, but I'm not sure Orson would like that. So we're going to wrap it up right now for those business owners, for those individuals, for anybody that wants to reach out to you, wants to find out more information. How can they find out more?
They can email me at Kat, K as in kangaroo, A-T, at lighterbodysolution.com. And I'm just going to give you my phone number, 404-731-6628. I can't wait to hear from you.
Catherine, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Catherine Pike with Lighter Body Solutions. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Orson Hall. And Orson is with Wine Parties by Design. We've been making wine references throughout the show. And now we're going to talk 100% wine. Orson, welcome to the show. Tell us all about Wine Parties by Design, how you got started, and what you do.
Thanks, Mike, for inviting me on the show today. That's a hard act to follow there, Catherine. My company, Wine Parties by Design, provides unique wine parties for individuals, groups, and businesses. And they're very unique, very different. And that's how I got started. We don't sell wines to people, but we do help them select delicious wines for their events. We also do wine tours of North Georgia and California. Wine is our passion.
Well, and I understand you're from California, and I was joking with Steve before we went on the air that I guess you're not allowed to dabble in wine unless you're from California. I think it's the law. I mean, something about people in California, Napa Valley and so forth, I mean, it's born in you.
Well, in a way, yes. I actually grew up in San Diego. I was born and raised in San Diego, so I am a native Californian. I went to UC Davis, graduated from there, and as you probably know, Napa Valley is about 45-minute drive down the road, so we were very close to the wine industry. Davis also has School of Enology and Viticulture, which is wine growing, winemaking, and grape growing. And so they're very big in that, and they've helped a lot of wineries in the area in California. California has 3,500 wineries. I don't know if you knew that. Washington has 750 plus, and Oregon has 400 plus. So there's a tremendous amount of wineries out there on the West Coast, and I'm learning about a new one every day.
Just a few more than Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
So what gave you the idea to start this company? I mean, did you go to a party that was just a dud and said, I can do better than this? I mean, how did you come up with the idea?
Actually, I held some wine parties for friends and neighbors, and they liked the format so much because it's unique that they said, hey, you ought to start a business. You really ought to start a business doing this. So I did. It started a little slow, but now it's been going about 3 years, and it's picking up a lot of steam, and it's a lot of fun, and people really enjoy it.
So walk me through how this works exactly. Someone contacts you, says, I'm thinking about having a get-together or a party. I'm not really sure where to go. How do you consult with them?
Well, the first thing is, usually I get a lot of referrals through other people, or people that I just meet, and they say, wow, that sounds great. I'll do it. What I do is I sit down with them and plan it first, because I have various themes to choose from, and they can choose that, and then we spend at least generally 2 hours customizing the party down to exactly what their needs are. And then we go from there, we go back and forth on the contract until they agree with it. And then I'll come in usually, 2 or 3 hours beforehand and set it all up. So I usually do everything for them. In fact, I can host it in their house too, or their business place or whatever. But picture this. Okay, here's how it starts out. A typical one. You walk in the door, somebody hands you a pre-printed name tag. Somebody hands you a wine glass and a grease pencil, which you write your name on the wine glass because, you know, wine charms, just after an hour, people forget what it is. somebody pours you a glass of sparkling wine and an hors d'oeuvre that's paired with that wine. And that's how we start out. So you walk in and go, wow, what's going on here? You know, and we want to provide that wow experience. That's a very important thing for us. Then once all the guests arrive, then I usually do a presentation on wine tips. Again, this is standard. Now, if the customer wants to do something else, that's fine. They can do anything they want with their wine party. Once we go through the wine tips, usually about a 15-20 minute presentation, then we'll get into what we call stations and sessions, and they're time sessions. And depending on how many stations we have and so forth. So it's not really a wine tasting, it's actually a wine party. I'll have servers at each one of the stations. So they go around and they'll have every time one will say, okay, please move on to the next one. Now, everybody has what we call a rating card. On the back of your rating card is a route. So I may go stations 1, 2, 3, 4, and Mike, you might go 4, 3, 2, 1. And so you'll meet everybody at the party. And that's one of the things people really liked about the parties is there's the clicks. You break up the clicks, and also everybody gets to meet everybody. And you'd be surprised how many people say, I didn't know this person was here. I didn't know this person lived down the street, and I didn't know about their business. That was great. So I get a lot of that. Then at the very end, after all this is done, we usually have door prizes. Now, because wine is a social lubricant, usually what it ends up as, when somebody wins a door prize, it's like somebody won the World Series. It's incredible. It really is. So we usually back off and let people have a good time after that.
Orson, beyond talking about how great your experiences are and what you guys do to create that wow experience, let me let you answer the other side of the question, okay, which is one of the reasons you started this is probably there have been some wine tastings and some wine parties that have been duds, like Mike said. So what are some things, because somebody might be listening to this and go, I don't need a wow experience, it's just a wine tasting party. What can go wrong at some of those parties? What can people do that they need to avoid, and that's why they need to hire you?
The reason they a lot of times you walk in to a party and people don't know you, and even though wine's a social lubricant, they still don't know you by the end of the party. And I've seen those before where people stand around, they're in their cliques, and they never move out of their cliques. And a lot of people get disappointed and leave. So what I try to do is get everybody to know each other. And usually my clients love that effect. They like that part.
Plus, a lot of it is what I'm hearing you say is a lot of the small touches, a lot of the things that people wouldn't think of, such as you mentioned the wine charms, and either they fall off or they've forgotten which one is there. So
exactly, I'm very detail oriented. I used to be an IT manager. I used to be a project manager. I'm a certified project manager, as a matter of fact, for 10 years. But I really, wine has always been my passion, as I told you before. So it's really a lot of fun doing this stuff, and I enjoy it. And people, you know, a lot of times they'll say, "What's a good wine?" And again, on wine, you really have to ask people what's your palate, because what I tell people every time is the most important wines are the best wines in the world are the ones that you like. And remember that. So if somebody says you'll like this wine, you really will like it, I'll quote an author. I won't say his name. And he says, so what? You can tell them that. What I usually tell people is tell them every palate is different, and it is. So I might or might not like it, and you have to be ready for that.
Who is your, and we're talking with Orson Hall with Wine Parties by Design, who is your primary client that you serve?
Generally, right now, individuals. I have done groups, too. I've done charities. I also have done, you know, a lot of individual in people's houses wine parties.
What would you say to that individual who says, you know, this sounds like a fun idea, it sounds like a great idea, but I know nothing about wine? I would think that would be even more reason to have somebody like you come in and help them out.
And that's a good point. About 95% of the people, and I'm just
because I'm going to admit right now, I know very little about wine. I know there's red and there's white, and if there's anything else, then I don't know it.
Well, most people don't know anything about wine. They don't care. You know, if it tastes good, drink it. And that's their motto. And 9 out of 10 bottles that are bought are usually consumed within 24 hours. So if we talk about storing a wine and how to store it correctly, we talk about that one bottle, you know, out of 10 every time.
So your typical client, a lot of individuals right now, but I mean, if a company wants to have some kind of a company event, you can tailor make a wine type of party.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Usually about 85% of the people out there like New World wines. Old World is Europe and New World is everybody else. But there's exceptions to the rule. You know, France makes some really nice, I think, New World type wines, southern part. And I'm not trying to say whether New World or Old World are good or bad, but I really like the New World. Of course, coming out of California, you know, I'm very biased. So what I do is I sit down with them and say, what kind of client base do you have? Who are the people coming? And what type of wines do they like? I find some people really like whites, and that's it. They won't do anything else. And some people like reds, and they won't even consider the whites. So it's very
kind of like the Sharks and the Jets, huh?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we try to, for a wine party, we try to provide wines that appeal to most people to come to the party.
So in the middle of talking with the wine party expert, Mike makes a musical reference for Broadway. Well done. We're working the culture in, Mike.
By the way, at the end of the show, when you have your little funny comment at the end, yes. I want to hear Social Lubricant somewhere in there, okay?
I don't take requests, Mike. Okay. Yeah, all you got to do now is name three operas, and you've hit your cultural goals for the day, Mike.
What's an opera?
So, Orson, one of the questions I was going to ask, we like to ask business owners on this show, where do you see your business in 5 years? I want to ask you kind of where you see wine parties going, because I would imagine there's some competition, but not a ton. This is a very specialized niche business, and you bring a lot of talent to it. You bring a lot of expertise. Do you see more and more people doing wine tasting events? Do you see this as something both in business circles and individual circles that more people will be doing over the years?
I think so. I mean, Atlanta is a big wine market. I don't know if you knew that, but you see a lot of wine stores around, liquor stores and so forth. They all serve, you know, or sell wine. And there's an event here which just happened. It's the High Museum had a wine auction. It's the fifth largest in the U.S. It's huge. And to get into the last day was something like over $500 a pop to get into that. And I volunteered for it for 2 days, and it was a lot of fun. They have like 30 to 40 different wineries out of various areas, France, California, and it's a wonderful, wonderful event for people to go to. But anyway, there are a lot of, to answer your question, there are a lot of people that love wine in the area. And I think my business, I just want to grow it, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I don't really have some high-level goals right now. I do love wine party. I do love goals, and I like to see people happy. I like to see my clients say, wow, that was great.
Well, you say it on your business card, your goal is to provide a wow experience for you and your guests. I don't think it needs to be any more complicated than that. Somebody wants to have a good event and a good experience for their guests, and you want them to go, wow, that was fantastic. Keep doing that, and you'll be fine, I think.
That's right. When I went to college, I have three fraternity brothers that have wineries out in California. And I have one of my old roommates, I shouldn't say old, that used to be a winemaker for 10 years, and he was president of three prestigious wineries out in California. And now he's executive director of one of the wine areas, wine districts out in California. So we keep in touch, and I ask him wine questions from time to time because I'm not, I don't have any certificates in wine. I just love wine, and I learn about it. And like I said before, I'll say, hey, this is a good wine. And they say, well, what is it about? And I'll explain it, and they'll say, wow, how do you remember all that stuff? Well, when you have a passion for something, you'll remember it. You will, right, Catherine?
Yeah. And I've got a question about bubbly. Sure. I'm just curious. You know, what's a way to we always sort of get the Corbel for New Year's Eve or something like that. And it's a once-a-year thing in the United States for a lot of people. But what's a way to incorporate some celebration with some bubbly in a typical setting for a wine party?
Well, we could do the same thing. I mean, we could do our typical wine party, and then you customize any way you want. We have different themes. So we have our themes generally are the most popular is wine and cheese pairing. Another one is blind tasting, but a lot of people that don't know anything about wines are scared of that because they're afraid they're not going to guess any of them right. Another one is I have 34 aerators at home, so I can do an aerator workshop.
Oh.
It's a wine aerator, not one you use on your lawn.
And, so squirting it out your nose after a funny joke is not a great way to aerate wine?
No, it isn't. And what an aerator is, it aerates automatically. I mean, just immediately, the wine that you're drinking. But what I always tell people is please taste it first before you aerate it. Decanter is the old way of, but people still use it, of aerating wines. A lot of people don't like to use an aerator because they don't feel like it gives the same flavor as decanting a glass of wine.
All right, corny joke alert. So okay. Squirting wine through your nose, I think that would happen at the wine parties, not by design.
Well, we can make that a contest.
I'm telling you what, with all the wine at the parties and the voice that Orson Hall has, he probably owns the room no matter where he's at. Talking with Orson Hall with Wine Parties by Design, what are some maybe some wine tips that you can give that might be of interest to folks out there that dabble in wine a little bit? You know, you always hear, you know, you have this wine with this meat and this goes with fish. And what are some of the basic rules when it comes to wine?
Well, you know, it's a very good point. Usually reds with the meats and whites with everything else. But you can have white wine with, or reds with, like a Pinot Noir, which is one of my favorites, with a salmon or some of the heavier tuna, so forth, some of the heavier fish that you have out there. But the other thing is there's so many different types of food that are out there and the way they fix it and all that. You really have to go out on the web and say, okay, this wine would really go with this particular one. And let me give you a tip here. For Thanksgiving, everybody matches up their wine with the turkey, right? You really match it up with the dressing. If the dressing is really spicy, you want to get a wine that matches or pairs with that.
Wow, interesting.
So let me give you a few more if you have time, which are some interesting things. Serving tips. When you serve a wine, it depends on the I always say experiment. Experiment with wine. So when you have champagne, pull it out of the refrigerator and open it up. By the way, the cork can go up to 60 miles an hour, so be very careful because it can put your eye out, as everybody's talked about, or put a hole in your ceiling. So you want to avoid that. With rosé and white wine, pull out of the refrigerator for about 20 minutes. There's a 20-minute rule. It's put the whites in, take them out for 20 minutes, put the reds in for 20 minutes. By serving red wine and rosé at 50 degrees, the flavors come out. When you pull out of the refrigerator, which is sub-40, usually you don't get the flavors that you get when they're 50 degrees. Pinot Noir, I like to serve at 55 or 60, but that's me. Normally, it's 60 degrees. For most people, if you serve a Pinot Noir, and a lot of restaurants do, unfortunately, at 65 to 70, the alcohol masks the flavor of a Pinot Noir because it's very, very light compared to the other red wines. Other red wines, I like to let them sit out and just, you know, room temperature with them. On a red wine, not especially a Pinot Noir, but more of your red, like your Cabernet Sauvignons and your Syrahs and so forth, the two things that are very important. One is you get that, you ever had a red wine where you get a bite or that dry mouth? Those are tannins. Tannins in the wine need to soften, and they soften with oxygen. So that's why we have aeration. Also, the flavor of a red wine doesn't come out a lot of times until you actually let it aerate and breathe. So that's why they talk about it. It's so important to let a wine breathe. And it's I've been to so many wine tastings where they haven't breathed, and you can't really get the flavor. So one time I was at a wine tasting, and this lady was standing next to me, and they poured a very cold Cabernet Sauvignon. And she said, "This tastes off." And I said, "Because it's cold." I said, "Let's do this." So we did it like the coffee cup. We held it like that for 10 minutes and talked. And then we tried it again. She said, "This is wonderful." And I said, "Because it opened up." That's why.
Wow.
So it's all, you know, it makes all the difference in the world. It really does. Another one is a lot of people say they get a headache with red wine. You know, with just drinking one glass of red wine, not 10, but one. That's because of, not because of sulfites, which everybody thinks it is, because your body manufactures sulfites naturally. It's because of histamines, which are in the skin of the grape. White wines are made without the skin. Red wines are made with the skin, so it leaches out into the wine. Now, if you have something like that, and again, I'm not a doctor, but what they recommend is having a small, you know, a very, very light antihistamine. Take that before you actually drink wine. And you'll avoid that. But again, experiment. Go to your doctor. Talk to him first. I don't want to be the one that gets blamed for something like that. So,
all these corny jokes I could think of. You know, I'm not a doctor, but for 7 glasses of wine, I could be. Oh my God, this has been very educational today. Very one of our more educational programs of the year.
Absolutely. Brought to you today by the letter G and the number 3. Just threw that out there.
Okay. Orson Hall Wine Parties by Design, for those folks that want to get in touch with you and find out more. And you've piqued their interest. How can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me at my website, which is www.winepartiesbydesign.com, or they can follow me on Facebook, Wine Parties by Design, or they can call me, and I'll give you my phone number. It's 770-271-9700. You can call me, and we can talk about a wine party.
Does it only have to be about wine? Orson?
We can talk about anything you want.
I want you to call. I want you to do my voicemail for me. That's what I want with that voice. Okay. So you've already captured her, and we haven't even broken open the wine yet. Next time, you need to bring the wine, by the way. We could talk forever with really both our guests. I want to thank Orson Hall with Wine Parties by Design and Catherine Pike with Lighter Body Solution. Thanks to both of you for your time today. It's been a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike. We love being here.
Yeah, same here.
All right. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian,
remember Gwinnett Business Radio, the vocal social lubricant of Gwinnett County.
I was expecting so much more.
Well, you gave me a request. I don't do requests, Mike.
For Steve and I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.